You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Only in Memphis could a prophetic gadfly like me, who constantly speaks truth to power and consistently ruffles the feathers of the establishment, wake up on Christmas Eve and open my Sunday morning paper to see a commercial appeal viewpoint cover story entitled Merry Christmas Memphis from the Whalums. But that's exactly what happened last week. Friend of this show, David Waters, published guest columns with pictures from me, my wife, my sons, and my brothers, which speaks to my love and respect for Memphis and Memphis' love and respect for me and my family. A lot of people, because of fear or political correctness or guilt, wouldn't say the things I say about Memphis. But I think I've earned the right to challenge us to be better. Which brings me back to Kroger. There is much angst, anger, and anxiety in the black community over these announced store closings, and I understand it. But allow me to push back on it in love. If your business had lost $7 million in 2 years, would you keep it open? Of course you wouldn't, unless you thought the value of the community and the value added by the community outweighed the financial losses. One of the ways a community demonstrates its value is to advocate and fight for things that matter, especially when it comes to its children. And Memphis, over the last 10 years or so, seems to have lost her focus regarding her children. Maybe Kroger would reconsider closing stores in our neighborhoods if they thought we gave a damn about them ourselves. I'm Kenneth Whalum Jr., and this has been Keeping It Real with the Right Rev. Follow me on Twitter at K Whalum, and let's talk about it some more.
Like you say, if you were a stockholder or an owner of Kroger or any business, the numbers, that's how you run your life. But does it open up the opportunity for somebody to go in there with, let's say, food trucks and healthier food, healthier options? Will those people who are, as you say, poor black folk going to subscribe to those theories?
I have absolutely no idea. One thing I do know is they're going to have to do something.
They have to have a source for getting food. Is there an Aldi over there? That's a kind of a discount yet healthy and quality food store. Here's
what I know.
Somebody will step in and do something.
Or the people will find the grocery stores. They will get to where they need to get. People do what they want to do, and they get where they need to get. And they'll do that until the city of Memphis or the schools or somebody does something to make things better. Because this is the way power works. Power never gets enough. Ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Power's going to keep eating and eating and eating until somebody says, damn it, go on a diet. I'm going to help you go on a diet.
Well, power and money, there's never enough of either once you have them.
Absolutely. So it's up to the oppressed, the ignorant, the ill and poorly educated to come together and do something. And if they don't, then, you know, it's going to be a food. Absolutely. And that's biblical.
But you can't live on pork rinds and malt liquor.
Well, you can't prove it to me.
I've done it.
A lot of people are apparently living on it. Now, what you cannot live on is continued diet of ignorance.
Well, and that's
if more people become more ignorant, everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to lose.
Yeah.
We're going to find out soon.
We are getting stupider. I think that there is we aren't there at the end yet, but we are teetering on that line, on the tipping point. There is either going to be a way to save this, or are we going to really all be shaken off this planet because of our growing stupidity and ignorance and lack of caring about anything? We're right there on the edge of, we've already lost a few generations, and there are more to come. Dave Chappelle's new special comes back to mind. I don't know if you watch that stuff, if you find it offensive. I don't think that your wife would find some of the language and some of the bits okay. But he does make some incredible points because the guy's smart. And he does this whole section about voting the last time and about Mr. Trump. and his opinions on that. But to kind of paraphrase what he said was that as bad as this is right now for a lot of people in this country that are just appalled at what's going on and afraid of what's going on, he said, this may be the moment. This may be what it takes. This may be the door that opens for all of us to come together.
He must have been listening to my Keeping It Real commentaries on Drake in the Morning. I've said that for a long time.
It's a
time.
Really good point. And the scarier it gets, the closer it brings us together as a people, because at the end of the day, as they say, through it all, we are all Americans, be it black, white, yellow, red, whatnot. And we will unite before we let one person bring us down.
Or not. And that's,
we'll fight in the streets till we all bleed out and burn.
See, that's fearful to most people. To me, it's encouraging because I have faith that truth is going to win out. So whatever, man, bring it. Let's do it.
It does come down to that. I mean, you either run from it or you run into it.
Absolutely. This is great.
Yeah.
This is great, dude.
I'm paying attention, bro.
2008. Hear this. 2018 is the year of the come up. We are coming up. People who have something to live for, something to fight for, are going to step up, live, and fight this year. This year, man.
That likely is true. It can't go on much longer. All that might get in its way is the 2018 midterms that will bring with it more lying and prevaricating and politicians and people that don't need to be in politics that will show their behind, I hope, before they get, in some kind of office. But that's going to be the only friction that we see, because on a national level, it's already really out of control. And a number of things in the world are out of control and seemingly unfixable. So we're either at the point where it's time to erase the planet and start again, or enough people have to come together on all of these things as one big united front. Stop worrying about what color somebody is, or what their sexual persuasion is. Who cares? We're all in this together, and that may be what comes out of this if we're lucky. Otherwise, we'll all be on fire.
Amen, and the doors of the church are open.
Okay.
Come down the aisle now, you can join.
Did you have holidays with your family, or did you just ignore it all?
Hey, dude, let me tell you. Look, New Year's Eve, you remember our disco ball at church?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, Drake. We partied hardy. We had a ball, man.
Was the bar open down there?
The bar was open.
Uh-uh.
Man, we served water cocktails all night long. That we were on the dance floor. We were dancing into Wobble and Mississippi Boys. And oh, it was beautiful, man. It was beautiful. We had a great time. And the kids, the baby, you remember seeing the kids dancing when you came?
Oh, yeah.
It was off the chain, man. I wore a tuxedo with sequins jacket on. Sheila had on these Beyonce boots that came up to her calves. And we just had a ball, man. We had a ball. So much so that people who were watching it on Facebook, this is not church. This is not of God. Oh, and then it brought up my cussing spirit. I won't tell you what I said.
You mean a pastor is talking like that?
Well, I think it's great. Well, good for you. Keep fighting the good fight. Good to see you as always. I'll see you next week.
We'll Happy be back New Year.
In a moment.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
New York City, Jersey, Boston, Philly, all of those places had some problems. Boston had some flooding, which is really weird. That means that the winds were high. So they had some messes. They had to cancel about 5,000 flights out of those areas because they can't fly in that kind of wind. So today, many of you or your friends or colleagues or family have been diverted to goodness knows where to get them back home. So if you're flying today, you can count on things being jacked up because the East Coast has been a mess. And it'll be better, I guess. But if you live there, man, you're used to it, I suppose, but even being used to it doesn't prepare you for those high winds and these new scientific events. What was it called? The snow
bomb cyclone?
bomb cyclone, yeah.
And then there's another fancier word.
Yeah, something from the from some. But it's cold as heck and snowing and icing and it's
hurricane
a mess.
Force winds.
People have no power and it's just awful. And around here we've had the power breaking and houses burning up because people put these space heaters too close. For goodness sake, how many times you got to be told that you do not unfreeze pipes with a blowtorch?
Oh my God.
I don't understand why you don't understand that. The best way to do it is to pour gasoline on the pipes and light them, and then that will make them unfreeze. That's a joke. Don't try it. Don't try it, God Almighty.
You know, I will say somebody had a good question on Facebook the other day I didn't think about. You know, you're supposed to drip your water, let your water drip in all your faucets when it's cold. Well, somebody said now that with these smart meters, or they wanted to turn their water off at the street or whatever, but with the smart meters, you can't because they put a lock on it or something. So she was wondering how to now turn it off if they've locked it.
There's got to be a water turnoff point somewhere in your house.
I guess so, but
there's one on every individual commode, wouldn't you think?
Right, but but the water going to the pipe up to that point is still what could freeze and screw up your house.
I don't know.
But then my husband said, well, no wonder I couldn't turn it off at say, my mom's house that's been sitting there for a month the other day, because he went to the street and it just kept turning and turning and turning. So I was like, I don't know.
I noticed on our street, and I have never seen this before. I noticed that our street is not a cove. It's kind of a horseshoe. There's like one way, two ways in, and it's just a big horseshoe. But I noticed four or five different fire hydrants had been wrapped. And I thought, was that done by the city or by the people that live on those? Because there's one up by our house that isn't wrapped. So I wondered if that was done by the city or by the folks that live in those yards.
Hmm.
But I know that everything has, been frozen as hard as a rock. And it just looks frozen. The ground is just, extremely. So all these things that run under the ground, like, you know, all the cable stuff and things like that, I wonder if that has impacted your service this week. Because we had some freakouts last night with our phones and internet stopping and TV stopping, and I wondered about that. But who knows? It'll thaw. We'll all live through it. Quickly, a few things. The answer to the riddle was picked up on quickly. Got a few texts, got a few emails. Sid knew it. Wes had seen the story, which is cheating.
It's show prep.
Whatever.
Here's the deal. I would never have gotten this because my mind just doesn't work that way. There are different parts of your brain that work in certain ways that you're really good at stuff, and some things that you either overthink. But with riddles, they're sometimes so obvious that you're thinking about it too hard and you miss it completely. This was to a first grade class, the puzzle of the week. And the kids, well, they're 6 years old. The riddle was, I am the beginning of everything, the end of everywhere. I'm the beginning of eternity, the end of time and space. What am I? The student in question guessed death. No, the answer is E.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. I am the beginning of everything, the end of everywhere, the beginning of eternity, the end of time and space. What am I? So don't overthink it.
That's right. So John, Tim, Corey, Jesterly, and Regina all emailed E in real quick.
Well, thanks so much.
Yes.
The two other freakish, and coming up in the dumbass is one of the funniest ones we've had in weeks.
Yeah.
How about this guy in a rock band? You've got to hear this idiot.
And it's on Facebook, so you can see how dumb he looks, too.
The Daily Express claims the world's hairiest woman, Natty, is her nickname, that's cute, Sousaphone, recently shaved her entire body and got married. She's from Thailand. She suffers from werewolf syndrome.
Oh, okay.
Is that for real?
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's rare, but it's a real thing.
Hirsute, hairy from head to toe.
Hair all over.
Like a monkey.
Or a wolf.
Or a wolf.
Bad wolf.
Okay, but here's my question. So she shaved up and met her husband or met a guy and they got married. It was love at first sight is the last line here. How does she, did she get something done to her to keep this from growing back?
I doubt it. She's probably just going to have to shave all the time. I don't know that there's a real cure.
I don't think so either.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't want to make fun of her, but damn. I mean, how do you? She would go through 4 or 5 Harry's razors a day.
Maybe yep. So.
And lots of time spent covered in shaving cream.
Make up your own joke.
I don't think that I. This one to me is also is
okay.
What is it?
There is a treatment, but it is not a cure. So you can
what's the treatment?
Hair removal treatments with either temporary removal or permanent removal of some, but the treatment may have adverse effects like scarring and dermatitis and hypersensitivity and such.
Good times.
I feel bad.
Okay. Well, the poor thing is just a freak. This is stupid, but it's apparently true. Never thought about it in my life. And if we had a different kind of show and our own, this is from Bangkok. They're known for their body whitening expertise. And I'm not doing this story to be titillating or something blue. I'm just amazed at the premise of the story. One of their procedures at this hospital, Lelux, which I assume is cosmetic surgery, one of their popular new things they've had 100 men a month. Now, this is in China. Come in for their new penis whitening service.
What?
Now, you go to your dentist and get that Zoom done and whiten your teeth, or you can do a number of things to whiten your teeth. Over-the-counter stuff works. There are a number of ways to whiten your teeth. I've never heard of anybody wanting to whiten their dingus.
Like a ghost? or the Joker?
I mean, I suppose you could dip it in some Clorox, which might make it hurt. They began offering this 6 months ago after a man complained of dark parts down there. Now, I don't want to get into any kind of analyzing of penises, but there are different birthmarks or whatever on various parts of your body. Why should that one be any different? The procedure uses a laser to achieve the whitening, and they have to be careful, really.
Yeah.
Because that body part is sensitive.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for that, Einstein. Most clients are between 22 and 55 years old. And many were from Thailand's LGBT community. Now, does that mean that they have new wieners or?
It says whitening. That's why I'm picturing like a pale penis.
I mean, if you're in Bangkok, what color is your skin?
She just said
skin
Bangkok.
Anyway. I mean, the things people do.
See, I mean, does anything. This is why. I stay confused and just angry all the time.
I just wonder, is it white, like...
like white, like white out, like...
Yeah, or is it just like Caucasian
fleshy
white?
Toned minus the dark spots.
Like, or is it like Michael Jackson's face or something?
If this were a different time and era, I would have you send in photos of your dong...
But don't.
To a cell phone to get... But, of course, we won't do that because it's just inappropriate and unnecessary, as was that story. But it's so gosh darn stupid.
Why would you want to have a...
Unless you're walking around naked and you want to look...
Like a party trick?
Why would you want to do anything to your nether region, period?
With a laser.
Boy or
well,
girl.
Well, I mean, there are... I mean, I think it is appropriate and... fine to do grooming, which can be attractive depending upon what who you are and what you wish to do. That's none of my business. But having your ding dong bleached, going a little bit too far, seems to me. But I don't know. It's up to y'all. And this one for sports fans as we head into the NFL playoffs. One of the, maybe the most successful NFL franchise, at least in the last 15 years, are the New England Patriots, owned by Robert Kraft and coached by Bill Belichick, who had some failures as a head coach in Cleveland and so on. But he's been with the Patriots and is renowned for his disdain of the press, which you can't blame him for. But the guy is a professional a-hole. He's up there with Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs. These guys hate the media, and it's justifiable because the masses of the media after a Patriots game or a Spurs game, Nick Saban is up there. He's become a little bit more patient with these dumbasses, but not really, because he goes off on tirades. But Belichick just doesn't say anything, and he comes off as a total asshole. But when you see him in a different circumstance, he's a different dude. He just doesn't suffer fools gladly, as Mark Twain said. And you can't blame him, because sometimes these sports people ask the stupidest things ever. So his image is what it is, plus the image of a football genius who can take any players and turn them into productive team members who keep winning Super Bowls. They've been to 8 in 15 years and won 5, in great part to his ability to coach people and because they've had Tom Brady, who is unflappable, extremely good, obsessed with this fountain of youth. He is somehow, he is 40 years old. Usually at 40 years old, your body has let you down and you just can't do what you used to do. Now, if you watch them this year, there were streaks when he did not look like Tom Brady. Then he'd come back the next play and look and be dead on the money. But then he would look really crappy and throw a really bad pass. But he has also had the luxury of being protected by great lines and not been knocked around too much or hurt hardly ever, because he stays in incredible shape, and he has this entire regimen. Well, there's a story today on ESPN that has also been elsewhere, but I guess they were the origin of it. They have a bye this weekend, but they're the favorite to win the entire thing. They're wondering if this is the beginning of the end for the big time Patriot 15-year run of Tom Brady, coach and owner Robert Kraft. There is a palpable sense in the building that this might be the last year together for this group, which means that somebody would have to leave. The growing friction has a number of reasons, but the main one seems to revolve around Tom's personal trainer and his partner in business, in this business, Alex Guerrero. He and Tommy Brady have teamed up on a controversial training program called TB12. Now, that's been out for a while. I don't know if it's a book, if it's a video, but we had some of the tips that Brady uses to stay in this incredible shape. The things he eats, he's way big into stretching everything. He sleeps in a compression shirts and pants, which must be really uncomfortable, but it fights inflammation and all these things. So he has this regimen that has kept him healthy at 40, but at some point your body is going to betray you. I don't care what you do. So he and Brady have this program, and the story contends that players on the team, the Patriots, are torn on following Tom's advice with this program or the old school advice from Bill Belichick, their coach. So this is now causing friction and they're concerned about it. Brady said, apparently dismissively, that Bill's answer to everything is to lift more weights. The TB12 approach uses stretching and pliability and diet. So this year, apparently, Tom Brady is sick of the coaching style of Belichick. He is a gruff, kind of an a-hole. But Brady is not the nicest guy in the world either. He performs really well for the camera in press conferences. He's very patient and not a jerk. On the sidelines, he acts like a coach, and he's earned that right. But he doesn't like being told what to do, and he does what he wants to do. That's why when they take away pieces and they cut receivers and stuff, he really flips out. But they get somebody in there that is competent enough to replace them, and they keep winning. Hence the, you know, five rings in 8 tries. And the other factor in this is that they just traded away the quarterback that was set to replace at some point Tom Brady, 26-year-old Jimmy Garoppolo, who has played 2 games in what, 5 or 6 years. The times he's played, he's really good, but you can't judge a guy on a, you know, on these 2 games. So they traded him away to the 49ers, and they won every game he played with them this year and changed how that team looks. He's really good. He's great looking. He's going to have a big-time career. But it came down to money and signing him to the franchise thing and all of that stuff. So now they've got nobody behind Brady because they also got rid of the third-string guy. So apparently that was not the choice of the coach, but the owner told Belichick to trade Garoppolo. So that's made everybody mad at everybody else. Tom Brady cannot play forever. I don't know how long George Blanda played, but many of you of a certain age know who George Blanda was. He played for the Raiders. He was a quarterback. He was a kicker. He went on, Wes is going to, I'm thinking he was in his mid-late 40s when he finally retired.
Let's see, he died in 2010.
But he played, I mean, he was an old dude out there.
26 seasons.
26 seasons and retired at what age?
I don't know yet.
See, these damn chips are already messing
they're
up.
Already slowing things down.
Anyway, so there, this story could be, you know, overhypey stuff.
Retired in 76 at the age of 48.
48 years old. The team has replied and says that the story is in part inaccurate and blah, blah, blah. Just the usual denials, even though most of this stuff is probably true. So if they win it all this year, Tom Brady does not intend to retire. This is his life, which is why he has devoted himself to making himself healthy and pliable and playable. But at some point, you just can't keep doing this. But George Blanda at 48, and now Blanda, he became a backup quarterback, but was just a kicker, but he kept playing. So Belichick, would he walk away from this or go coach someplace else? It's Robert Kraft's team, and if they are all at each, they're kind of all this, you know, part of this important group there, this, you know, triad of people. If one of them leaves, it would change the dynamic. But a 15-year run is pretty impressive, so we'll see how that works out. The game's tomorrow. There are 2 tomorrow, 2 Sunday. So good luck with that. The Grizzlies tonight, the Tigers tomorrow. It's going to be cold. Lots of things to watch on the TV. Netflix is where it's at because cable TV has become as worthless as network TV. So find something funny and laugh and turn off the news for a while or do something nice or just hang out and read. Get a book. Do something good. Dumbasses are coming up. You'll love the story about this rock star. Back later.
Email us anytime at mail@drinkinthemorning.com.